This morning I'm proclaiming the word of God from the Philippians reading. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word to us, through this word fill us with your Spirit, so that we may live lives marked by gratitude to you and by peace. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Of course, today is our festival of Harvest Thanksgiving, a special Sunday we set aside to give thanks to God for the gift of the land and for the good things we receive through the land. And as modern urban people, we also recognise that God gives us vocations and God gives us gifts in our vocations so that we can be fruitful people. We set aside this Sunday to give thanks to God for all these good things. There are, of course, things that stop us from giving thanks, that shut our mouths, that close us up towards God. Things like self-sufficiency, thinking that we've worked hard for everything that we've got, so God's got nothing to do with it. Failing to recognise for a start that there are many people in our world who work much harder than we do, for very little gain. We can think that way, self-sufficiently. Sometimes also we can just focus on the gifts themselves and so not be thankful toward God. We can think about our gardens or our property or our possessions and regard God as having nothing to do with these things really. The gifts are the good thing, God's simply a giver that we can leave behind. But there's another thing that stops us giving thanks that's in the background of today's Philippians reading, and that's conflict. Conflict in family groups, conflict in workplaces, conflict even in the church. Conflict among human beings can narrow horizons and stop up thanks to God and bereft life of joy. If you go back in the Philippians text, just before it, you hear these words. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. We don't know about these two women apart from this text, but all commentators agree this is a situation of conflict that's affecting the church community. We don't know, it could have been caused by hurt and by anger, by disagreement. It could have been caused by words which wound. But all of us know about conflict, we all experience it in our lives. And maybe as you come to church today, you're experiencing it. And maybe it makes your horizons narrowed as well. You know, when we're in conflict, it can take our thoughts. Not just our waking thoughts, it can even seep into our dreams. We can focus on people and what they've said and done, and as we think about them, become more angry. Or we can become more despondent. We can think that the conflict is the centre of life and the only thing that gives real meaning to life even. We can think that the conflict is all that there is. And when we live this way, we feel it in our bodies. It weighs us down and it stops us giving thanks to God. We can feel helpless, what's more, in the face of conflict. We can feel that we have no resources to deal with it and there's no real hope in life. Well, St. Paul in today's Philippians reading, how the text goes on, what we heard read out for this Harvest Thanksgiving Festival, gives us words of encouragement when we experience this sort of conflict. Encouragement to deal well with conflict in a Christian way, to have a wide perspective and to see how God can bring good things even out of the worst disagreements. This is what St. Paul says after his recognition of conflict. Rejoice in the Lord always. Yet, even in conflict, again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, St. Paul encourages us to see that there is a wider picture, that even in conflict, even in congregational conflict, God is at hand, the Lord is near. There is reason, in other words, for rejoicing in all the circumstances of our lives. If you think about Paul writing from prison in chains, dealing with conflict in a congregation far away, even he could rejoice, and he encourages us and his fellow Christians to rejoice with him. So first of all, there's encouragement there to widen our horizons, to remember that the Lord is at hand, that God will help. It's interesting that in this, St. Paul doesn't say, condemn those who are at the heart of conflict. With these two women, Euodia and Syntyche, St. Paul is quite clear. These two women have their names, he says, written in the book of life. They are real, true Christians. They may be having conflict, but that conflict doesn't define their identity. They are people whose identity is secure in Christ, who belong, who are truly part of the Christian community. On that basis, that St. Paul can really offer prayers for them, and he encourages us also, when we face conflict, to offer prayer to God. It's true that conflict will cause worry, but the Lord is at hand. We can ask God for help in conflict. We can pray for those who even seem to us to be the whole cause of conflict. Especially for our Christian brothers and sisters, we can pray this way. To people whose names, or for people whose names are written in the book of life, who have been baptized and adopted as sons and daughters of God, just as we have. But we can also pray for people in our world, in our workplace, in our neighborhood, because we know that God's generosity in Christ Jesus is for all people. The Lord's not far away, not even in conflict. He's at hand to help. There is a bigger picture. Conflict is not the end of the story. Watch and see what God will draw out of it. This text, Pastor Josh reminded me during the week, is used very much by the ambassadors of reconciliation. And they use it because it comes out of a conflict setting in Philippians. And part of the ambassadors of reconciliation is coming into a conflict situation and asking, how will God be glorified here? Because as Christian people, we can be sure that God will be glorified. We will bring good things out of it. You know, land in winter can look barren, but wait and watch and see what God draws out of it. A seed, when it's planted in the ground, can look dead, but wait and watch and see what God grows, what fruitfulness God grows. It's in nature itself, for which we give thanks to God for today. It's also in the human community, this growth of God which comes as a gift. You know, we're free to think this way, and we're free to ask God for good things because we're not slaves of God, but children of God, baptized into his holy name. We belong to him. Now, St. Paul gives us further encouragement in today's Philippians reading. And these are words we don't hear much in our lectionary. In fact, Pastor Josh and I couldn't think of any other time these words are read out on a Sunday service apart from the Harvest Thanksgiving service. Maybe they come up elsewhere, but not often. Finally, beloved, St. Paul writes, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. St. Paul could have spent his time thinking about the conflict situation in Philippi. And he could have thought about it and dwelt on it and be worked up by it. But he knew that as God's child, He didn't need to narrow his horizons in this way. He could think more broadly. He was free to. He was even free to think on good things. Now, the words which St. Paul uses here were words of good things used commonly also in the pagan society of the time, things that everyone would have recognised as good. Most people in Australian society would recognise that it's good to help someone in need. Someone has a flat tyre. You help them out. That's a great thing to do. You know, even in the midst of conflict, we can think about these sorts of actions, helping out people in simple ways in need. Conflict's real. You don't need to run away from it. St. Paul didn't run away from it. He named names so the congregation could help resolve it. But the conflict is not everything. In fact, we are free to think differently. I'll say this again. We can think differently. You might think that when you're in a conflict situation, and maybe you're there now, that you simply have to think about that and that alone. But this is not how it is as Christian people. We can bring other things into our thoughts. We can meditate on what's good and beautiful and holy. Now, of course, that can be difficult to do, especially if we don't have examples of that sort of thing in our life. Listen to how St. Paul goes on. He says this: keep on doing the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. St. Paul here is using himself as an example. It's as if he's saying, look at me. I'm not running away from this conflict. I'm prepared to deal with it. But I'm not treating it as if it's the whole world. It's part of a bigger picture. It needs to be dealt with, and dealt with well in a Christian way. We can trust that God, who is near, will do this. Look at how I, Paul, am dealing with this situation, and follow my example here. You know, in the Lutheran tradition, we uphold this way of thinking. This is what's said in the Augsburg Confession. It's also taught among us that saints should be kept in remembrance, so that our faith may be strengthened when we see the grace they received and how they were sustained by faith. We need practical examples, and it's good to have them, and it's good to think about them. You know, often we feel like we have no resources for dealing with difficult situations in our lives, but we have the Christian community. We have the saints who've gone before us, and we can read about their lives and how they dealt with difficult situations, how God gave them grace, and how they lived by faith. God also gives us other Christian people in our community, and we can ask them, how would you deal with this situation? What help can I have? Looking at the example of mature Christian people and following example can be very helpful in thinking concretely and acting really well in situations of conflict. You know, our first hymn today was a hymn written originally by one of the saints of the church, St. Francis. He's singled out by name also in the Lutheran Confessions as an example of good, holy living. He had a lot of difficulties in his life, but one of his gifts given by God was the ability to see the beauty of creation. What a gift that is. Sometimes as human beings, our appreciation of beauty is enhanced when we listen to other people talk about things. Maybe there's been a painting and you haven't thought much of it, but then somebody with a gift of insight starts talking about that painting and you begin to notice things. The beauty of the painting, its excellence, its goodness. I remember having this experience when I was in high school in Year 9 with poetry. As a kid, I did not dig poetry, right? But I had a teacher who had gifts given by God, who developed these gifts to be a skilled teacher, and who unpacked a poem, and it made me see the real beauty that was there. We can do this as Christian people too. We have a community here where we are free to do these sorts of things, acknowledge the beauty of creation and the goodness of God. St. Francis did it with creation, and we sang his song together at our service today. For the beauty of the earth, we also sang another great song It gives us recognition that God is at work in creation. Now, it's strange that for Harvest Thanksgiving, perhaps, we should have a text that flows out of conflict. But that's something that really does stop us giving thanks to God and really does suck joy from life. It's real. It will always be with us, even in the Christian community. We need to acknowledge it, not run away from it, deal with it clearly in a way that's pleasing to God. And also understand that horizons with God are vast. There is great beauty in this world that God draws us into. In Christ Jesus, indeed, he draws us into his beauty so that we may enjoy the bliss of, in the end, seeing God face to face and eternally with gratitude enjoying God. Let's stand. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.